Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. Hump Day here on the Music of America podcast with our guest today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Great Odin's Raven. Can't wait to talk to him about that name because I'm a big Thor fan. And we'll talk with Adam Wells in just a moment. You know, we've all done this, right? You find the perfect tone you're looking for, and then the club owner walks over and says, you know what, you're a little too loud, something to that effect, and you have to change that, which you spent all day trying to achieve, you know, that tone, you know, where you're always in the sweet spot. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. Now, the Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage plexi circuit. The Lexi has a rhythm crunch channel, a boosted lead channel. It has a digital reverb, two buffered effects loop, depth control, an awesome voice switch, considerably more gain than a plexi does, but at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert-level volumes, but it's designed to be played at those lower volumes, okay? The two channels have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ, and I think that's the secret there. It's really cool. You can check it out at Landry Amps on YouTube. That's Landry, just like it sounds, Landry Amps on YouTube. Bill Landry will walk you through all of the amps that he hand makes and show them to you, how they sound, how this one's different than this. Or you can just check him out at his website. He does the same thing there, but it's Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. Our guest is Adam Wells from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and the band Great Odin's Raven. I've never been to South Dakota. I think I've said that already once or twice already this week. And now I can't wait to go because, man, the music that comes out of there is just really amazing. I'm really, really excited to come up and see that place.
Yeah, it's a small scene, but there's a lot of different kinds of music, pretty much anything that you're looking for. People will say it's primarily country. And that's probably true. But, metal, punk, alternative, folk. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all at the same time. So
The same artist. Get out here. Yeah. How would you define Great Odin's Raven? Because I'm thinking it's kind of metal, but then it's got a lot of tinge of punk to it.
Yeah. It's kind of walking the line between those two. And I mean, between the three of us, it's me and Travis and Tony. We don't really have a lot of music in common. So there's probably not any one band that all three of us like equally. So, yeah, I mean, it's metal, punk, hardcore, alternative, you know, whatever that means, I guess. But, kind of whatever it is that we're feeling and, just kind of making it sound good. But, yeah, metal, punk, somewhere in the middle. We don't really know. But
I think alternative is for those guys that just don't quite know how to classify their music.
Yeah, it's kind of a more catch-all. It can kind of be whatever it is you want it to be.
And I think it's more from the producers more than anything.
Yeah, probably. Let other people decide what it is.
Exactly.
Some people will call it screamo, even though it's not screamo at all. But that's okay. You can call it whatever you like.
Now, your role in the band, Adam, you are what, guitar, vocals?
Yep, guitar and vocals. Travis, he played guitar before. He's kind of switching to bass now, but he's also doing lead vocals. And then Tony is on drums, and he might be doing some lead vocals as well. So it's kind of a three-piece band for now with three lead vocalists. So we'll kind of see how that turns out. But yeah.
And it's Tony and Travis who and who?
Travis Nelson and Tony Ridgway.
Gotcha. How'd you all meet? Where'd you all come together?
We got together around 2019, me and my friend, who I'd been in a band in a couple bands with for a while, Drew, he kind of introduced me to Travis. And the three of us, me, Travis, and Drew, just kind of got together and just started jamming, just started talking about ideas, didn't even really talk about what kind of music we wanted to do. We more talked about, you know, what we wanted our music careers to look like, you know, at that point in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't really interested in touring or, you know, putting a lot of time and money into it. I think I was probably already in my 30s at that point. Yeah, I was. So it was more about you know, what do we want to do with our music careers rather than what kind of music do we want to play? And yeah. I mean, even to this day, we haven't really discussed what kind of music it is. So we, you know, kind of jammed and wrote some songs for probably 9 months or so. Booked our first gig in December 2019 without a drummer, which is probably more common than you think in Sioux Falls, because there's five people who play drums and about 20 bands. So yeah, we just kind of used program recorded drums for our first gig. And Tony was there. He was playing guitar in another band that was playing that night. And we found out that he was playing drums, looking for a gig to play drums in. So we kind of hit it off right away with him too. So it kind of came together pretty quickly, even though we had to play one gig without a drummer, but we got another one on board pretty quickly. So yeah, but that's kind of that kind of sums up the Sioux Falls scene in a nutshell. Everyone's in, you know, 1 to 3 bands at any given time, you know, sometimes at the same time, sometimes at the same show. So yeah, and Drew left a little bit after that, so we kind of soldiered on as a three-piece for a while. We had our friend Alec, who ironically is primarily a drummer, playing bass for us for a little while. Yeah, and he left after a while too, so we're back as a three-piece, kind of kicking around the idea of adding another guitar player, but yeah, we'll see. We're kind of happy as a three-piece for now.
I've been running into this a lot in the Plains. You know, I ran into it in Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, parts of Missouri, but it's like North, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, where there's five drummers in the whole state, you know?
Yep.
You know, you got this guy's with this band, but he's also with this band, and he's also with this band, and each band is so diverse. The drummers love it because I'm playing jazz over here, I'm doing rock over here, and I'm doing country over here. So you work all your chops as a guitar player. You kind of hone in on your style and stay with your style, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's always been like that. I'm, you know, born and raised here. I've been playing in bands since I was 16.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it's always been. You know, every drummer in every band that I've ever had was kind of the only drummer in town. I grew up in smaller towns before moving to Sioux Falls, but even in Sioux Falls, there's only a handful of people that play drums. So there are, I think, still quite a few bands that are just using pre-programmed recorded drums for their gigs. So
yeah, so I wonder what I don't think I've ever seen that. I wonder what I would do if I walked into I live in Vermont in the summertime, and it's a great music scene. If I walked into Red Square or Radio Bean or Nectar's and I saw no drummer and I heard drums coming through, I don't know how I would react to that.
It's kind of a different experience, you know, both as a musician on the stage and as a, you know, spectator. You know, I mean, it's reliable certainly, but you know, kind of the energy from having a live drummer isn't there. So yeah, it's different. I think I definitely prefer a live drummer, but yeah, having a pre-programmed drums, that's kind of the only option for a lot of bands sometimes.
Well, you said it best, man. That was, it's the energy when, and I'm not a drummer, believe me, I can do feet or I can do hands, but I can't do them both, you know, but the energy that a drummer brings, especially your music has so much energy to it. I can't imagine trying to replicate that with a robot or AI or, you know, a pre-canned drum machine or whatever. You know,
yeah, it can sound a little robotic when you're doing the pre-programmed stuff. So, you know, even if a drummer is sloppy, which thankfully ours isn't, but yeah, you know, even a bad drummer is probably better than no drummer at all.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say just that I would say in a case like that, wouldn't you rather have just a bad drummer than just because then there's another body there that's feeding off your energy and then he's feeding energy back into the fire, and your music almost demands that, you know, it's that high energy and it's fun, man. It's really fun. Not my style, but I caught myself listening to your songs a few times now, which is huge because like I said, it's not really my style anymore.
Yeah. We've heard that here and there, you know, this is, you know, not normally the kind of stuff I'm into, but you know, I like your stuff for some reason. So thank you for that.
Who writes your music? Do you do all the writing or do you share the responsibility?
Yeah, it's pretty much an equal collaborative effort. You know, we all play guitar, so we're all writing riffs, and we're all singing, so we're all coming up with, you know, vocal melodies and lyrics and stuff like that too. So Yeah, it's probably not any one of us three that does any more than anyone else, which that's kind of the first time that I've been involved with something like that too, where everyone's kind of contributing equally. But I think that makes for, more interesting music because you're getting three equal voices instead of one, which that is kind of typically the way it goes, is that one or maybe two people will kind of write the majority of the music. But yeah, for us, it's pretty much a true collaboration, and we write for, other people's instruments and come up with, crazy ideas and stuff like that too.
That's
So,
really cool.
yeah.
I use the formula of 1 + 1 + 1 = 4,
Yep.
because you
Yeah.
each have your own thing, and then you have your collaboration, like the finished product that you can all kind of tweak a little bit.
Yep. And all three of us coming from different musical backgrounds, it kind of makes for something that none of us could really come up with on our own.
Now, the first
It
song we're
kind of
going to
has to be the
listen
three of us.
first the first song we're going to listen to when and this happens a lot. People send me their songs, and I'll listen to them, but before I listen to them, I'll look at the title. And Chris Stapleton has a song called Fire Away.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you guys are going to do like your version of, and I don't know what your music style is. I can kind of guess with the title Great Odin Draven, but so I'm waiting to see if you're going to do like a more progressive or a rock, more rock version of his song Fire Away. Oh no, it's all your own.
Yep, I don't think I've ever heard Chris Stapleton. I've heard of him. Everyone says to check him out, and I just, don't really
The
kind of.
best way I can describe Chris Stapleton is he brought soul back to country.
Yeah, that's what everyone tells me. It's kind of like real country. So I think he's actually coming here at some point this year.
Oh, no
So
kidding.
maybe I will check him out. We'll see.
So, what is your contribution to Fire Away? That's the first song we're going to play here.
This is one of the songs that I didn't contribute a whole lot to. This one is primarily a Travis song. I think pretty much just the lead guitar, and actually not even the solo. I think Travis actually wrote the solo, which that's fun too, learning someone else's solo just because they're the
How
lead
do you
guitar
do
player.
that, man? Do you just improv a solo, or do you come with a solo in mind and build a song around it, or do you have a solo in your back pocket and say that solo will fit so well in this song?
Yeah, we don't improvise too much. We'll kind of hear a song and be like, this could probably use a solo, so we'll maybe make a space there and then kind of listen and kind of see what kind of solo plays in our head. At least that's how I do it. I don't know how Travis does it. I think he might just kind of whittle around and find something that works. But so yeah, this one is a guitar solo written by someone who's not the lead guitarist. I don't know
About
how
that,
often that happens in rock music, but it happens for
how
us.
did and Travis plays lead plays is playing the lead, or you're playing the lead on this one?
I'm playing the lead on the recording, but yeah, I think it's pretty much note for note what Travis wrote, if I remember correctly.
And did he play it for you, and that's how you learned it, or did you write it out? Did you tab it out, or what did you do?
I think he might have just recorded it himself, and I just kind of transcribed it on my own. I think that's how it went. Yeah, I don't think he showed me how to play it or
It's really
anything.
challenging. It's really challenging to try and write or to play somebody else's song like that,
Yeah.
especially note for note. So kudos to you, man. That's
Thank
good.
you.
Well, the song is called Fire Away, the band Great Odin's Raven from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, here on the Music of America podcast. Fire Away with Great Odin's Raven here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard, and I'd like to introduce you to Trevor and Eileen Bild. Trevor and Eileen Bild of Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, O-T-E-L. It's like hotel without the H. Ordinary to Extraordinary Life. They've created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, Otel Music Videos. They love to give back to help others be seen and heard for their life legacy. They welcome all new submissions from a variety of genres. Please visit their website. It's www.oteluniverse.com. Again, Otel, like hotel without the H. Click on the What is Roku tab. There'll be a drop-down menu. Click on Roku Channels. Complete the submit video form there. All right, and that's how you'll load your video onto their channel. Now, Roku is seen in 160 countries, has viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide. So be sure to add that channel to your Roku menu. Be sure to give Otel Universe a 5-star rating and check them out at their website, Otel Universe. That's www.oteluniverse.com. Adam Wells, our guest with Great Odin's Raven, and I want to find out about videos. I want to find out about that title of your band. So what direction you want to go first?
Well, we don't really have any videos yet, so we can talk about the title if you want.
Let's talk about the title, because I wanted to do videos because we were just talking about Otel Universe, and I'm telling everybody, you got to get into this, man. You get your videos, start doing videos and upload them. They're amazing people. You'll love
to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, then, Great Odin's Raven. I grew up, it's funny, in our neighborhood, we all collected certain comics from the Marvel Universe and certain comics from DC. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was an X-Men guy. And my next door neighbor was a Thor guy. So we would trade comic books. When he was done, I would read his Thor and he would read my X-Men. Okay. So that's how I got into studying the Norse gods and everything. And I had a couple of books that I read as a child about the Norse gods, and kind of got frowned upon because I was raised in a Catholic church. And I'm like, but I don't remember Great Odin having a raven. So tell me about Great Odin's Raven and then title.
Okay, so the title, it actually didn't come from Norse mythology or from Thor.
Okay.
It came from the movie Anchorman. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Oh my gosh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we kind of have a joke where there's two kinds of people in the world, those who know what our band name, or those who think they know what our band name means, and those who really know.
Okay.
So the first time we tell someone what the band is called, they're either like, oh, Anchorman, or they're, oh, funny. Thor.
Yeah.
But it was Anchorman that was kind of the inspiration for that.
So tell the story about that. That's funny.
There's not much of a story other than, you know, we're just all 30-year-old men, and Anchorman is kind of the staple of our youth. And, you know, quoting Anchorman is the way that you communicate when you're in your 30s nowadays. So, I think it was Travis that came up with the name for that. And I don't even think he explained why he wanted that as the name. He just kind of texted us and said, hey, how about Great Odin's Raven for a name? And we all knew that it was from Anchorman. So we're like, sure, love it.
So I'm not that big of an Anchorman fan. I've seen it maybe 2 or 3 times. But is that something that Will Ferrell says when he stubs his toe or gets angry or whatever?
Yes. Okay. First, I got to ask you if we're allowed to swear on this podcast.
If you do, I don't edit it out.
Okay. So in the movie, they change the teleprompter and he reads everything that's on the teleprompter.
Right.
So while he's doing the newscast, he says, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Oh.
And then he's watching the tape back. And when he says that, he goes, oh, Great Odin's Raven.
How funny. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the scene, and I knew there was some, I was on track with the context, but it's not the movie that I've seen a whole lot. I've seen Elf a whole lot. That's my go-to Will Ferrell movie that I see. Now I can quote Pulp Fiction for you, start to finish practically for you, or Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Yeah.
That's funny. So he just comes up with the idea. Let's call it. I mean, it's a great name. It's a great name. It Odin, Norse. It depicts that imagery of the immigrant song. Immigrant song by Zeppelin. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all about the Norsemen, and it's got that. You know, it's got that drive, and you guys have that same kind of drive. So that's That's organically where I went. It seems I like my aunt. My aunts are better, frankly.
You know what? You're not wrong. It means whatever it is you want it to be.
There you go. The next song we're going to talk about, Forsaken. What's your, because you said you didn't have much to do with Faraway. Did you have more involved with Forsaken?
Yes. On the other hand, this one is pretty much all me except for the lyrics. And this was actually a song that I'd written probably 15 years ago. Sometimes I'll just write something, whether it's a riff or a song, and then just kind of keep it in my back pocket until it's ready to use. And that was kind of the case with this one. I'd had it written out pretty much as it sounds now. All those years ago. And then I just kind of brought it to the group and said, what do we think about this? And they said, yeah, I mean, we wrote some lyrics. And this is probably our most popular song, even though there aren't very many lyrics in it, which is kind of ironic. You always hear people, talking about how, you know, you don't want your music to be instrumental because, you know, the vocal music is more popular. But, you know, this one is one of our big ones and there's not a whole lot of singing going on. But
that's funny. Where were you 15 years ago musically? What were you listening to?
A lot of Between the Buried and Me. I'm trying to think back that long ago. Metallica, which that's probably my favorite band of all time. So I kind of always listen to them. This was around the time when I first started playing 7-string guitars and, I'd had, bands that were influencing me that played 7-strings like Korn and Limp Bizkit from when I was a young kid. And then around this time I was really getting into Suicide Silence and really liked what they were doing with 7-string guitars. So there's a little bit of that in there. That's more like straight up death metal, but, this was one of the first songs I think I had written on a 7-string guitar.
That's cool. Are you playing 7-string on this one too?
Yes. And actually we decided to switch to 7-strings permanently. So all of our songs that we had on the 6-strings, we're kind of transposing to the 7-string.
Oh, cool.
Sound a step lower, but it makes it a lot easier to gig with. You only have to bring 2 guitars instead of 4.
There you go. Do you drop D or do any alternate tuning with this, or is it...
With our 7-strings, we have kind of an odd tuning. We tune all of the strings up half a step, which is kind of illegal in metal. So don't tell anyone we do that. and then we drop the lowest string down a full step. So it'd be drop B flat, I guess.
Wow. That's interesting. That's real interesting. I'm 68 years old. I'm just now delving into alternate tuning, and I've been playing some drop D for a few years, but I just open E tuned one of my guitars. Just playing around with that a little bit, and that's so much fun. It's like learning the instrument all over again, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to play songs with one finger.
Yeah, exactly. That's
why we do it.
Well, you certainly work on your up-down stroke a lot faster if you only have to play one string, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And most of the time, it's open strings anyway, because it's metal, so.
Right. Yeah. Great Odin's Raven and Adam Wells, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. Their next song, Forsaken.
Follow to find you out. so black and white. It's not so black and white. It's not so black and white to me.
Forsaken. Adam Wells, our guest here. The band Great Odin's Raven from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Hey, bass players, The Bag is a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States with the finest craftsmanship and a beautiful, sophisticated, and very cool overall appearance. They're made from some of the finest quality leather and cushion available and meant to literally last you a lifetime. Not last you a lifetime. I mean, literally last you a lifetime. They have over 30 years in the leather industry. They're extremely proud to introduce the whole gig bag line targeted at both the skilled professional as well as the fun-seeking novice. Their hope is that you'll love The Bag and the line of bags from The Bag as much as they do. The Bag from Tony Vaughn Bass Bags at www.tonyvaughn.com. Tony Vaughn, that's V-A-U-G-H-N, TonyVaughn.com. And now, technology being what it is, websites work, websites don't, websites work, websites don't. So you can always find The Bag if you buy gear from Sweetwater, Musician's Friend, Guitar Center. Just Google The Bag at any of those sites and you'll see the whole line of bags that they offer from Tony Vaughn and Tony Vaughn Bass Bags. www.tonyvaughn.com. Adam Wells, our guest from Great Odin's Raven. And boy, am I getting schooled here left and right. I think this is going this direction and I'm wrong. I'm going to go in this direction and I'm wrong. So here's something I'm openly ignorant about, and that's the music scene in South Dakota and Sioux Falls specifically. I mean, Sioux Falls is where you are, but do you branch out and go outside of Sioux Falls? And what's how receptive is your music throughout that part of the country?
Yeah, so the only place that we've really branched out to would be Sioux City, which is in Iowa. Uh-huh. And the heavy music scene there is pretty healthy as well. You know, we've gotten, you know, a pretty good reception out there too, just the one time that we played. But yeah, we pretty much keep it local. And that is the case for, you know, most of the bands in our scene. Uh-huh. There's just not a whole lot of places around Sioux Falls that you can play. You know, Omaha is, you know, a couple hours away. Minneapolis is about 4 hours away.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, you know, you're looking at towns that are smaller than Sioux Falls anyway. So you might not, you know, get a huge turnout. Yeah, so there are a few good places to play in Sioux Falls. So you can still keep a pretty regular schedule, just keeping it all local.
When you do a show, how many bands are on the ticket with you?
It's anywhere between 4 to maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah,
we do like to kind of pack the bill and make sure that there's a, you know, a good amount of variety and that, you know, got several hours of entertainment, there for you to watch.
And do you book them yourself or do you have somebody, like there are promoters in St. Louis where I'm now, that'll go out and find different types of acts and say, hey, I'm putting together this music show and I need like 8 bands or 6 yeah. bands or whatever. Do you have somebody there that does that? Or do you just kind of get, because it's a smaller music scene, you get with these other guys and say, hey, let's go do this show over at Tom's place or whatever.
Yeah. It kind of happens both ways. We do have a couple of local promoters, that, will, you know, gather the local bands together. Or they'll bring someone in from out of town that's on tour. And sometimes we'll bring in, you know, even, you know, bigger bands that are kind of doing a national tour. And they'll find other local bands to kind of fill out the bill. And then, you know, sometimes it is just bands that are friends with each other, getting together, saying, hey, do you want to jump on the show with us? Or do you want to, you know, try to get a gig at this venue? So yeah, it does kind of happen both ways. And it basically just comes down to however you can get a gig, because, you know, you're not going to be making any money anyway. So there's a couple of good local promoters. Les over at Biggs Bar. She's probably the one that we've worked with the most, and that's probably the place that we played at the most. Yeah, I mean, we don't really have any kind of set rules about who we work with or who we play with. Just kind of, you know, whatever we can make happen.
Yeah. Now, do you record at a studio in Sioux Falls, or do you do your own recording, or how does that work?
We do our own recording. A lot of the bands around here will go to this guy named Jeremy Schaefer. He's up in a town called Scotland in South Dakota. That's about, I think, 2 hours from here. Mm-hmm. But he has his own recording studio. It's called All Poetic Audio, and it's very professional. He does a lot of good work. But we kind of decided to try to keep everything as in-house as we can.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'd wanted to do since we first started, is just to see how much of this we can do on our own and just keep it totally DIY. So yeah, we do all of our own recordings. I just, record into the computer and apply the plugins and do it all pretty much digitally. Yeah. And there's a couple other bands that do their own home recordings, or maybe they'll kind of record their stuff at home and then send it to Jeremy at All Poetic to master and mix.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, for us, we try to keep it in-house. So we've been doing everything ourselves, and we're pretty happy with the results so far.
My younger brother, well, my brothers and I, we playing cards the other night. My younger brother came up with this, just, I think it's a brilliant question, and I've been asking it ever since. Especially with you guys, since you guys are doing everything yourself, it's all DIY.
Yeah.
When is a song done?
That's a good question.
And isn't it fun?
It's
isn't
important
it a fun question?
To kind of give yourself a deadline, because otherwise you will be just working on it forever. And that goes, you know, with songwriting as well as, you know, the production process.
Uh-huh.
You know, when is a song done? With the songwriting, I mean, we'll be adding and changing parts pretty much up until it's released sometimes.
And, yeah,
you know, when you're recording your own stuff, that's pretty easy to do.
Right.
But yeah, that's something that we don't struggle with too much. We can kind of make a decision on things usually. And then sometimes it'll be like, hey, is it too late to add a 2-minute guitar solo?
Oh, okay.
And I mean, honestly, the answer is no, because we're doing it all ourselves. We can uh-huh. do whatever we want. But sometimes realistically, it's like, no, we gotta, it's fine the way it is. And we need to, you know, push it out there. So, but yeah, you know, honestly, nothing's ever really done. It's more like it's abandoned, or we're just tired of working on it.
We're tired of working on it. That's funny. Yeah. I've had two answers I really like. The one guy says, well, it's done when he tells me to stop. You know, it's like, enough already. 19 takes is enough. Stop. And these yeah. other guys, these guys from down in, I think they're in Oklahoma, and they use the phrase chasing the bear. And I love that, you know, because you keep adding on, you keep, well, let's tweak this. Well, what if we did this? When we do that, you end up chasing the bear, you know, and that yeah. bear can turn on you and say, all right, enough. So you don't want to be chasing the bear to the point where the bear is going to turn on you. Right. And
yeah.
So they go just far enough, and then they stop. And when then they're all happy with it, then that's it. They're done. And I think that's clever. Yeah. That's a smart way of doing it.
That's kind of what we do too. We just yeah. get it to a point that we're all happy with it, because honestly, we could just nitpick it and just go forever and have it turn out something completely different that we might not even like. So mm-hmm. once we get it to a point where it sounds good to us, call it good.
I've had a lot of guys say too that when it replicates our live sound, that's good enough. Because studio and live are two different animals. So yeah. if you can go in a studio and make it sound as good as it does live, and I've had quite a few people say that we can get it as close to live as possible, that's when we stop.
Yeah, I don't know that we think about that too much. Uh-huh. I think sometimes we'll be concerned that maybe we can't pull this off live. And oh, okay. we kind of have to just tell ourselves that it's going to be okay, and that we'll figure it out eventually, you know, if like a really fast song or something like that, or something that we can't nail in one take, you know, we have to do it a bunch of takes, and it's like, uh-huh. oh, are we going to be able to do this live? But I think ultimately when we're recording, that's what's most important, is just making sure the recording sounds good and whatever it takes to get there, whether we can do it live or not, that's what we want to do.
What's your body of work consists of roughly albums, songs, how many?
We have one album out right now, which everything that we're playing today is on that one.
Okay.
And that's been out for, I think, a couple of years now. Okay. But we are working on a 6-song EP. I don't think we've even announced that it's going to be an EP. So I guess I'm doing it now. But well, yeah, that's going to be out.
Let's do it in the next section because that's the shameless self-promotion section.
Okay.
Sounds good. Do that?
We'll do that.
Right now, yeah. We want to talk about your last song, and that's The Ties That Bind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this one is another, I guess, Travis special. Uh-huh. Sometimes he'll kind of write a complete song. Sometimes I will. Sometimes Tony will. Sometimes we all come together. But yeah, this one's another Travis special. And I think Travis wrote the lyrics for this one, too.
Okay.
So I don't know that I contributed a whole lot on this one.
Well, you're part of the
power. This one's mainly Travis.
You're part of the power trio, so of course you did, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of it, of course.
Yeah, of course, right. All right, well, it's great. Great Odin's Raven, our guest, Adam Wells from Great Odin's Raven, and their last song we're going to hear, a song called The Ties That Bind, here on the Music of America podcast.
Forever I am yours. Forever mine.
Ties That Bind with Great Odin's Raven and Adam Wells, our guest today. Adam, it's been very educational to find out about you and your band and about South Dakota and Sioux Falls in particular. This is the part of the show, though, where I get to shut up and you get to talk all about Great Odin's Raven. We call it shameless self-promotion. You touched on a six-song EP or something like that. So talk about that. What's coming up? What's coming out? And when's, how can we support Great Odin's Raven?
All right. So, yeah, we are working on a six-song EP right now. These are songs that have been in the works for quite some time, since even before, you know, our one album that we have was released. So I'm not sure when we're going to get all that pushed out. It might just, you know, kind of push out songs as we finish them, because we're DIY and we have that luxury. So, yeah, I think we'll probably most likely have all the songs out at some point before the end of the year. And yeah, we haven't really decided if we're going to do anything beyond just a digital release, you know, whether we do like a CD. We probably can't afford to do vinyl, but yeah, so it'll be out there on all streaming platforms, with the possible exception of Spotify, because they're not going to be paying us anymore. So
how come?
That's fun. Well, they decided that any song that gets less than 1,000 streams within the last 12 months, not going to get any royalties.
Wow.
So unless we, you know, get a bunch more fans and can, you know, crank those numbers up, it's probably going to be a lose-lose for us to be on Spotify. So we'll see how that happens. But we are going to try to get those six songs out here before the end of the year. All of our merch and everything you ever wanted to know about the band is on our Bandcamp page, and that is greatodinsraven.bandcamp.com. We got a few t-shirts and other stuff out there. And I wish we could say that we make all the t-shirts ourselves too, but we don't. We do work with a good company down in Texas called Seven Sins Printing. So it's all, you know, high quality stuff. And we try to do some of the artwork ourselves, but there's also a guy here in Sioux Falls named Sam Wigdahl. He helps us out with some artwork, and he kind of makes artwork for all the local bands for free, just because he's a nice guy.
No kidding. That's very cool. His heart.
So yeah. And it's crazy good artwork. And we have those shirts on our Bandcamp page as well. But you can download all the songs from our one album, and I think you can stream them from there too. But you can also purchase a CD. They're only $10. So
Okay. If
you still have a CD player, I highly recommend picking one up. Beyond that, we have a YouTube page. There's not a whole lot of stuff there at the moment. We are thinking about recording our own video, because everything has to be DIY for us, because we hate spending money.
Right.
We'll kind of experiment with that a little bit and see what happens. But we'll try to have that out with our six-song EP before the end of the year as well.
As soon as you get that out, hook up with Otel, man. That'd be great for you.
We'll have to check that out.
Otel Universe, yeah, for sure. Well, Adam, thank you. And thanks for the insight in Great Odin's Raven. I can't wait to get up to South Dakota, man. It's going to be fun.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, I appreciate it, man. That was Adam Wells from Great Odin's Raven. Up next, we'll get some soul music from the Black Hills, appropriately named Black Hills Soul, tomorrow here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.